House Finance, come to order. It's 1:37 p.m. on the 19th of February, 2014. We have members present, Representative Guerra, Representative Costello Stoltz, Co-Chairman Osterman, Representative T. Wilson. That's a daily adventure, trying to get that. Representative Thompson and Vice Chair Newman. We have scheduled two measures before us, Senate Joint Resolution 3, the Joint Committee on Federal Overreach, and House Bill 297. At the request of the sponsor, Senator McGuire, we are removing Senate Joint Resolution 3 from the agenda and consideration. She has expressed a desire to not be duplicative and to put or continue to put our resources into the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas as a measure that we saw. And I appreciate somebody not having too much pride in authorship, and it's a good quality in legislative leadership. So commend her for wanting to take it off the agenda and seeing that there was a better and different route. And so those that may have come for Senate Joint Resolution 3, the Joint Committee on Federal Overreach, we were still very attentive to those issues. It will be through Representative Wes Keller's legislation, which will hopefully be advancing to the floor. So that anybody that thought that was coming up still have a commitment to that issue. It's just a different vehicle. We have one other bill, House Bill 297. We have Representative Pruitt. Perfect timing to present House Bill 297. We tried to time just so you walked in. You're free to bring anybody up with you if you'd wish.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As I catch my breath from running up the stairs. All right.
Would you want to take a quick at ease? I know I've done that drill before.
No, I'll be fine.
Nervous.
He has nerves of steel. He's ready to present his bill.
Yes, thank you. Except for, you know, being in front of Representative Garrett usually makes me a little nervous. You intimidate me.
It's okay. I don't understand the bill, so you're fine.
All right.
That does not keep Representative Garrett from commenting on things. There's no cameras today, so we're although there are always cameras, and the we've got more eyes here than President Obama's NSA.
All right. Well, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and get started.
Representative Munoz has joined us as well. Welcome.
All right. For the record, my name is Lance Pruitt. Represent House District 25. House Bill 297 recognizes the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation as the state's home energy rating system authorizing agency for the purpose of approving home energy rating systems used in the state. This bill seeks to protect the investment that Alaska has made via HFC in developing its own rating system. AK Warm, as well as the over $560 million Alaska has invested in its highly successful and popular home energy rebates and weatherization programs. AK Warm is the system and software that has been in use and continuously updated since 1996. It is specifically designed for Alaska, and it's recognized by the Alaska Building, Real Estate, and Home Loan Industries, and is directly tied to AHFC programs such as the home energy rebate and weatherization programs, interest rate reductions for home loans, and Alaska building energy efficiency standards. HB 297 is good for the state, it's good for Alaskans, and I'd urge the committee to support it. We do have with us Bob Green and Stacey Schubert from AHFC, and they're available for any kind of questions that we may have.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Pruitt, a couple times in the material that you've given us, it talks about the non-NGO third parties that are attempting to identify themselves in the federal legislation. Who are those NGOs, and what is their efforts? They're NGOs from outside the state of Alaska, is that?
That is correct. And I know the details and the history, I'd probably prefer that HFC, because they know it very intimately. If it's okay, I'll bring the appropriate person up. If come on up, and let him explain kind of the there's definitely history there.
I want to know, is HFC up for this project? I know they can handle the easy stuff like bridge and toll authorities and gas lines, but can they handle this rating stuff? And non-conforming loans and things like that? Actually, it's good to see HFC back to its meeting. Welcome. Well, that was probably editorial. But insightful and productive as well, though. Right?
When I start coughing, it means that that was editorial. No.
Here's a cough drop.
I actually was joking.
Welcome.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Bob Breen. I'm the director of the Research and Rural Development Division of AHFC. Thank you for the time to be here, Mr. Chairman, to answer Representative Osterman's question. Essentially, home energy rating systems are used throughout the country, and each of the states kind of went their own way to get into the home energy rating business. Recently, an organization probably, well, maybe 10 years ago, sprouted up in the lower 48, really looking to coordinate all of these activities and elevate their significance to the point where they've attempted to insert themselves into the federal budget to receive an allocation for home energy ratings on behalf of all of the states. And we took great exception to that because Alaska was already in the process. We had already developed a home energy rating system called AK Warm, and it was developed, purchased, and maintained with public funds, so it's public domain. And it's really free to the public, including the other 49 states, if they choose to use it. However, what we saw on the national level was this private, not-for-profit and for-profit organization, they have two branches, was really trying to insert itself much along the lines of a national lab or a university think tank to actually receive monies from the Department of Energy before any of the funds went to the states. And as I mentioned, we took exception to that because we felt the relationship needs to be between the states and the federal government before third parties get involved in the process. We believe that AK Warm is one of the best rating systems in the country. We use it in the harshest climate in the nation, and we have had a good relationship with the U.S. Department of Energy for many years with regard to acknowledgement of this rating system. This organization that I referred to earlier is known as ResNet, Residential Energy Network Rating Systems, basically. And they actually positioned themselves to review any rating systems in the lower 48 for approval. And we submitted AK Warm for approval to them. They denied it because we didn't have cooling loads in the rating system. We told them that we have very little use for cooling loads in Alaska because of our climate, and we were looking for approval from them on behalf their work on behalf of Department of Energy for our rating system. Long story short is the person that runs the organization used to work for us and basically took the draft of AK Warm to the lower 48, the business model, and tried to turn it into a private business model for himself. And so that has led us back to this issue about the relationship between states and federal government. And we've pressed Department of Energy on the issue that the relationship needs to be between them and the states, not them and third parties, and then the states go to a third party for approval of a rating system that we have developed, used, is proven, and we know gets great results. So to that end, we've worked with Representative Pruitt to present this legislation as a way of looking at any rating system that's used in the state of Alaska so that it is appropriate for our climate. The AK Warm rating system that we use recognizes some five regions across the state, different heating degree days, different wind regimes, different humidity rates, all of that. So we've been in the business a while and have a lot of good data that talks about the differences in the regions in the state. We think that rating systems that are developed in Colorado or Florida really are inappropriate to be used in the state of Alaska. That's not to say that they couldn't come in and do ratings, but what this bill does is it puts AHFC in the position of reviewing those rating systems and comparing it to AK Warm so that it is at least as thorough and complete as AK Warm before we will allow them to use it in the state. Again, you know, it seems very inappropriate for a rating system developed in a southern state to be brought to Alaska and used as a measurement tool on Alaska homes that are being built in a totally different climate. And so that's kind of the short version of the relationship back to the national scene and what's going on there. So it's a states' rights issue. It's a protection issue. We've got some $560 million worth of investment in housing stock around the state, based and predicated upon the rating system that we have used in the state. And so we think this is good public policy to make sure that whatever rating system is used in the state of Alaska is appropriate for our climate.
Thank you.
I just, before we go, I have just a technical question, Representative Pruitt. You sort of have your finding section in the body of subsection H, and it's kind of unusual. Usually there's a finding section and then the substantive portion, which begins with the corporation. Is there a, it's a, you comment, it just seems a little unusual.
For the record, Dirk Kraft, staff to Representative Pruitt. When we talked to Ledge Legal, they felt that was the best way to put it in there. Was just adding that in the AHFC's finding and purpose section, just right at the end of finding and purposes for AHFC.
It's really unusual. Your finding section doesn't become part of the statute. In this case, it appears that it would. And I think I just to be consistent with the way we draft legislation, but I'd like to talk to him about that, because I hate to memorialize a finding section as the body of the statute. I'm not the expert on this, but looked at a lot of bills coming through. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Something that you just said that makes me not like this bill anymore. But first of all, in the fiscal part, it says this software is available to all at no cost. That's not completely, I mean, can I rent this out from you guys for free and do this test on my own house for free? Or do I have to pay $500 to have someone come in and do it?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, it is a free public domain product. Now, home energy raters use it as their tool when they come in and do a home energy rating, but if you wanted a copy of AK Warm and you wanted to attend a home choice class as to how to use the AK Warm and actually do a rating on your own home, it is free public domain.
Follow-up? So if I understand what this bill does, so if a private entity wanted to come in and offer people to be able to, for $200, to come in and do their own testing, that is not this, that would not be permitted if we were to pass this bill. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, they have consumers have the ability to use any other rating software they choose. However, by law, Alaska Housing Finance cannot finance a house that doesn't meet the minimum building energy efficiency standards, and we use AK Warm to measure that. So if a new rating system such as RimRate, which is developed in Colorado, came in and did a rating on a home in North Pole, it would have to at least meet minimum Bs in order to qualify for financing. What this bill proposes to do is to analyze RimRate to make sure that it is appropriate for a rating to be done in North Pole that recognizes your climate, your heating degree days, and cost of fuel. So it's a way of making sure that whatever rating system comes into the state is at least as good as AK Warm before it is used to truth the performance of a consumer's home.
Just one final question. So basically, this bill is for those who want to finance through Alaska Housing, and you're going to only accept ratings from, at this point, unless somebody else comes in with some other process to finance it. But if a private company wants to come in and do it and I want to just go get a loan through Alaska USA without this portion, there would be nothing preventing them.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, that is correct. what we've tried to do is make it easy for the consumer so that there was a time right after the housing crash when Freddie and Fannie left the state of Alaska, and Alaska Housing Finance was left with all of those REOs and loans, delinquent loans.
Once you that's not an acronym, everything. Just
I'm sorry. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as secondary financing corporations left the
REO. I know, it's not the musical reference, I'm sure.
Right, an REO is a repossessed property. And so what we found was when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac left the state, AHFC was holding the paper on all many of those homes. And many of those homes were insufficiently constructed, and people couldn't afford to live in them because it cost them too much to heat the home. In the interim, the Building Energy Efficiency Standards was passed and implemented through statute. The requirement is that the home has to meet a Building Energy Efficiency Standard before AHFC will lend. And typically what happens now is you could go out and get a Freddie, Fannie, or FHA loan. But if the person buying that house then in 5 years wants to sell that house and the new buyer can only get financing through AHFC, it would behoove the borrower to have a home energy rating on that home so that they could qualify for in-state secondary financing through AHFC. It's not an absolute requirement, but it would make good sense on the part of the consumer to have themselves covered in that regard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure we're not impeding private business by kind of backdooring this direction, but I think I understand it at this point.
I know that's never Representative Pruitt's goal. So.
Yeah.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so I understand the bill, this only affects the 1 to 5 star rating system that AHFC uses in weatherization and related AHFC programs, is that correct? You just want to make sure that the 1 to 5 star rating system that's used in the state is the one that AHFC has been using, is that correct?
That is correct, and we don't close the door on others, but we want to make sure that their rating system is at least as robust as ours.
Through the chair. And I'm only asking because I'm just first reading this bill. Where in this bill does it allow other rating systems to be used? It seems to say that AHFC is the sole rating system. And then, frankly, if your point is that yours is the best, why do you want to allow other rating systems to be used?
Well, I think actually the language is to approve rating systems in the state. It really doesn't prohibit others from being used in the state. We think it makes sense for example, the reference to the private sector earlier. This is a free public domain software that actually can be used by private enterprise without a cost to them. Other rating systems that are used in the lower 48, you pay a percentage of what you make on the rating to the developer of the software. In this case, it's free public domain that the private sector can use. And we do not prohibit the others from coming in, but we want to make sure that they're rating system is at least as robust as AK Warm.
Thank you. Through the chair. So so this will say the AHFC rating system is the one, but you may authorize other ones as well. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And just finally, I have a house that was built in 1948, and I don't know about your rating system because with a $15,000 investment, we got our house up to from 1 to 2.5 stars. But, I don't know, maybe that was generous. And we're not going to jeopardize, first of all, the AHFC has done a great job. I know I was in Seattle once, and I was watching a show about how they just wasted all of their ERA money on their weatherization program and had done almost nothing with it. So AHFC has done a great job with this. Not going to jeopardize federal funding with us, right, at all?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Great, thanks.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In recognizing the standards that are set by these various codes, then, are they recognized by banking institutions for adequately serving their needs to make sure the home is built correctly? If it's a new home, follows your ratings, banks would recognize this as meeting their codes, as not substandard or standard?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, that is correct. In fact, when we purchase loans from individual banks in Alaska on the secondary market, we require that all of those homes meet a minimum building energy efficiency standard. They know that, and they know that we have this tool out there, and they know that this tool guarantees that that house performs, and so they use it readily as a marketing tool, if you will, even for issuing loans to consumers. So we have good support from the banking industry on the utilization of this tool.
And just a couple follow-ups on that point. So if a home, and I'll refer back to my home when I built it, it was built to codes and inspected by a building inspector as it went along to make sure the foundation insulation mechanical was all done appropriately. So, but that was in 1996, so it's 16 years ago. So, 18. So now, are those standards still applicable here if that home was with what you're identifying here? Are those still recognized as being applicable or usable, or do you go back and have to have that all reinspected? How does that all work to allow for that process?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, given that your house went through the process in 96, it would be grandfathered in at those standards. The IECC 2012 is now the standard of the world, if you will. But some of the older homes, they would be grandfathered in at their process that occurred in 1996. Now, in the case of if, for example, you were looking at going into the home energy rebate program, we wouldn't look at the standards at all. The AK Warm would actually do a pre and a post home energy rating on your home and measure the difference between the two. But it wouldn't go back in and look at how you did your electrical or your foundation or your plumbing, that kind of thing. It would be strictly energy efficiency performance.
And just, I am in the middle of that right now, getting that done with my home, so I've gone through that process. So the financing and the end of this, just to make sure that I want to follow that and see where that, in my mind, where it affects this bill, there's a fund for the home energy rebate program. Where is that housed and interest earned on that, and how is that relate back to the fund?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, basically the residuals of the home energy rebate program are reside at the Department of Revenue. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation draws down on that fund, and any interest earned by that fund is put back into the program, so it just promotes the program. So we draw down on a regular basis what we need at the current time for the home energy rebate program. And typically, we will have, you know, maybe 150 to 250 homes in the pipeline at a time.
So there's no changes to where the fund is housed by establishing this as the authority?
Through the chair, no, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Munoz.
Thank you. Thank you. You said that a home in 1996 would be grandfathered in with the standards that
but
were in place.
But you have an older one, right?
At that point. What if it's much older than that? I mean, what happens then, and how is that house eligible for financing?
Well, through the chair, Representative Munoz, I'm not from the financing side of the house, but I do know that older homes, one, in Southeast we see a lot of historical homes. Of course, then we have to go through SHPO requirements on historical homes, but typically, what we see when we run into an older home is more of the homeowner wanting to access the home energy rebate program to improve an older home. Financing of an older home, there are typically financing requirements that our mortgage operations would know more about than I do. I'm more the energy efficiency side of the house, but I will say from the energy efficiency perspective, that we do home energy ratings on all kinds of homes, older homes, newer homes. And so the age of the home really isn't an issue for us because we have an appropriate measurement tool from the pre and the post rating. So it's about the difference between the ratings, not necessarily about how old the house is.
Can I follow up? Then would an older home then be required to go through that process in order to get to be eligible for financing?
I probably need you downstairs.
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, it would really depend on the age of the house and the condition of the house. And I know that mortgage looks at the ability to acquire insurance for the house before they will issue a loan on the house. I can't think of an example where the mortgage has implemented a walk-away policy on such things. We really do try to hit the mark on energy efficiency. I would have to defer to mortgage operations, and I could get a more specific answer for you, Representative Munoz, rather than guess at it and guess wrong.
Sure. That would be helpful. I represent many people that have older homes. My mother lives in a home that was built in 1912, so I'd just be curious how that works.
We'd be glad to get that information and bring it back to send it to your office.
Representative Costello.
Thank you, through the chair. My question actually is not directly related to the bill, but I was curious if this program can be used in, for example, in a school.
Through the chair, Representative Costello, we have used AK Warm for small commercial-sized buildings, maybe like fourplex, sixplexes. It really doesn't transcend to large commercial facilities or large public facilities. However, we have been working with a cadre of architects and engineers who understand energy efficiency, and we actually had we issued a contract, and we had a number of these personnel go around the state and look at public facilities, in particular schools, to look at the operation and maintenance practices, as well as the engineering and design on schools. And the report came back showing that there could be considerable savings if school districts focused on energy efficiency construction and good operation and maintenance practices. We also have a program at AHFC that's called the Revolving Loan Fund that is available to schools and public facilities if they want to do energy efficiency improvements to that facility. We operate that program through what we call a performance contracting subcontractor. So in other words, you might have a Siemens or a Honeywell go into a school district and look building and look at it to see what kind of improvements could be done. And they guarantee that school that if they do certain improvements, that the energy savings will actually pay for the contract. And if they don't generate that amount of savings, then the Siemens or the Honeywell is on the hook for the contract. So it's really kind of a beautiful symbiotic piece to that relationship between the public facility and the performance contractor. Long answer to your question, we don't have a computerized tool per se that does large commercial buildings, but we have issued contracts for architects and engineers to go in and look at public facilities with the idea in mind to save energy.
Thank you.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This program you have that's looked at the schools and has the loan program that actually is going to be paying for itself, has anybody taken advantage of that yet?
We're just now seeing municipalities, DOT, and the school districts starting to come through the door to take advantage of this program. It's interesting, Representative Thompson, through the chair. Initially, when we rolled this out, there was real reluctance on the part of municipalities and school districts to participate because they'd rather come to Juneau and get an appropriation for their construction purposes. But once we began to show them that they could generate that payback very quickly, even if it was a loan and guaranteed through a performance contract, we're starting now to see agencies and municipalities come through the door and want to participate in the program.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to open public testimony. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to testify on this bill? Seeing none, do we have anybody online?
And Mr. Chair, he may be able to actually answer part of Representative Munoz's question if he wants to go ahead and do that.
Okay, we do have the Alaska Housing Authority online. John or Mike?
Yes, Representative Osterman. For the record, my name is John Anderson. I'm the operations officer with Rural Research and Rural Development for Alaska Housing. The requirement for financing with AHSC is anything pre-1992 is eligible and does not have to meet the energy standards that we currently have in place.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Doesn't look like it. Thank you. All right. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, we will close public testimony. And Representative Thompson.
Thank you. I just had a question that I know a lot of departments around the state in all kinds of situations are using Alaska Coal Climate Housing. Are you guys utilizing their abilities and knowledge up there? Are you consulting with them at all?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, we do work with Coal Climate. We have a grant with them, an annual grant that we issue to them for research. They currently are working on our draft housing needs assessment study, and that should be ready for rollout here in the next week or so. But we have a great working relationship with Coal Climate. Because of their physical location in Fairbanks, they're very, very much in tune to energy efficiency improvements in housing stock, and so we have a good working relationship with them.
Thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just because Mr. Green mentioned the performance contracting, we just had DOT Public Facilities do a presentation on that and explain how it does, so I'll make sure we get that to other members electronically so they can understand that program and what the state's doing on that behalf, whether it's schools or facilities owned by DOTPF.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Representative Pruitt, this is often before the Finance Committee. It's been a tradition here for folks to ask questions about findings, so it's not just your bill. I know it's been my bills in the past, too. So, I would just briefly note that we also at AEA have a program that a lot of private companies have been using for big commercial buildings so they can do energy audits so they can start also becoming more efficient. But that program has been pretty successful over at AEA for commercial buildings, for private ones.
All right. With that, we are going to hold this bill. I think the questions raised in reference to the findings and whether it how it should be written, and I think we will be coming back with a potential substitute bill. Sorry, Representative Pruitt.
Mr. Chair, just to speak to the finance or the findings piece. Dirk had mentioned that it had come from LegLegal. I just want to clarify. It was the AG that works with AHFC had come up with that particular wording. And really, myself and AHFC are not opposed to the appropriate changes that need to be made. So just wanted to make sure that it was on the record that
okay. Thank you.
Be fine.
That is okay, so we'll set that bill aside. That's the only thing we had on the agenda today. Tomorrow, Thursday, the 20th, the governor's budget amendments will be coming forward. The OMB director, Karen Rayfield, will be here. And so anything from other members before we adjourn? We're adjourned.